Hello everyone, my name is Michael Fair, and I'd like to welcome you to the first of these three fireside chats that I've decided to produce for you. Now, have you ever noticed in the sighted world, it is pretty much impossible to not know what computers can do for you outside of work and education. It'd be very hard for someone not to be aware, be forcibly made aware, that their computers can help them communicate online in the internet, can help them shop, can help them play games, a whole range of things, express themselves, write blogs, create art, create music, all sorts of different things, listen to podcasts, listen to radio stations, watch streaming video on the internet, all kinds of things that are unrelated to work and education that people can do. And this has really made a huge difference in the sighted world now that some 30 years have gone by since it all really began. You can see it in how comfortable people are today, this current generation, with technology. And even older people are fairly comfortable with it. And the reason that this is because they've enjoyed the process of learning about it. It hasn't been a drudgerous chore. And unfortunately, in the blind community, often as not, these computers are provided with the conditions that they be used for work and education. And the use of them for other means is often discouraged or simply not brought to the attention of blind people. Because if you're fresh, if you just own a computer and you haven't been online, you don't know much about the internet, it can be very hard to learn about accessible software, what is made accessible, books online, all kinds of other things that the sighted world, because of the media, because of advertising, has a much easier time. There's just not enough of a market to have such advertising directed at blind people, unfortunately. And this puts us at a profound disadvantage when it comes to computers. Think of it this way. If someone says to you, here, learn these skills, and you will then be able to do more work that you're not really going to enjoy, but, you know, here you go, and see what you can do with it. More likely than not, these people are not going to really be all that motivated to pursue these skills, particularly if no employment is forthcoming, as is often the case. As we're dealing with something like an 80% unemployment rate in the blind community, so all this directed effort at education and employment is certainly laudable. I'm not going to sit here and say that it is misdirected. What is unfortunate is that there's no equal thrust given to make sure that people realize what the computers can do for them in their personal lives. Because over the years, I have benefited tremendously from what I've been able to do on my own time, at my own pace, on my own terms, with this technology, and other people have benefited from it. I produced a magazine called Odyssey, which eventually was spread to something like 14 different countries. It was used in Russia by a librarian there to help teach English. It is still widely circulated today under a new editor. And basically, I've learned most of my skills with access technology because I've had fun doing it. I learned how to type about 90 words a minute by playing games. I was given a disc at a very young age of 10 years old. I had just gotten my first computer, had no idea what I really wanted to do with it. I knew I'd had to use it for schoolwork, but who wanted to do that at age 10? Fortunately, the teacher I had was very farsighted and gave me a disc full of text-based accessible games that I could play. And they encouraged me to learn how to use the keyboard, how to type, how to review the screen, how to make use of features of my screen reader, and learn all that while having fun. So in quite short order, I got fairly proficient at using my computer and had a lot more time in class to get work done and consequently had a lot less homework because I spent so much time earlier playing games and having fun with my computer. If there's one thing that has really become obvious to me over the years, is that we learn best when we don't think we're learning at all. It really is that simple. If you're doing something you genuinely want to do, that you're genuinely interested in, you will pursue that without any outside motivation necessary. You'll be self-motivated. You'll be driven to learn about this stuff. I, in high school, had to do a history project, and I chose to do one about my grandfather. He was in the Royal Canadian Navy, and so that was what made me choose my topic of essentially what life was like in the Royal Canadian Navy and what the conditions were like. And I was directed to a lot of books with very dry stats, piles and piles of statistics, and if you could take all the dry stats and turn them each into bricks, I could have built a mansion. It was just insanely boring, and on these books seemed to drone at me, and I lost all kinds of interest and impetus in doing what I originally thought would be a really interesting, self-fulfilling project. And eventually, though, I came across a book called On the Triangle Run, and its author took a completely different approach, painted it in vivid detail what it was like to be in the Navy at that time, to be on corvettes, on the Canadian destroyers, and what life was like for the seamen experiencing that. And that just re-galvanized me. I read that book twice, not because I had to, not because I even had really time to spare to, but because I wanted to. I wanted to get all I could out of that. It was just so engaging. And that's the real big difference. And that's, unfortunately, what a lot of blind people, particularly adults, are missing now, is that motivation. If you haven't grown up, as I did, with this access technology, and had it been inculcated into your life from an early age, where you still have time to explore and look for fun and, you know, find fun things to do, it can be very hard to make that transition later in life, and it will tend to be viewed as employment/education furthering only, which is a real shame, because if 80% of us aren't getting work anyway, even with all this technology, that's a lot of untapped good, untapped thinking, untapped potential out there. That is why I've written my guide and done these chats, is to promote personal use, to make people look beyond the box and help them to see what is out there at their fingertips if they only take the time to investigate and to learn. My guide and these lectures are not intended in any way, shape, or form to replace professional training, to replace having a good friend who knows what they're doing, to help you through the initial stages of learning about this stuff. It is quite daunting for some people to just be thrust into this world, and these things can really help. I can completely understand how people can be left without motivation to make use of the training materials and the help provided on the computers, but I can assure you it is worth your while to do. And I hope that through my guide and these lectures that I can give you the insight and the awareness of what's out there so that you can motivate yourself. I don't know what is going to interest you, but I hope that in my broad coverage of the various areas of general interest in using computers for personal pursuits, that at least a few of these things will spark your imagination and make you want to have these things for yourselves, as I have for years. So, that being said, let's get started with some basics here. Now, to read the guide, Personal Power, it's personalpower.rtf. It's a rich text format file name. And I don't know where this guide is going to be situated on your machine. If you downloaded it from the internet, it will end up wherever your Internet Explorer or other browser is set to download a file. It could be onto your desktop. It could be into My Documents. It could go to a bunch of different places. So I will simply leave it at up to you to open the guide. All you have to do is go to it, find the file, and hit enter on that file, or whatever you use to open files automatically. It should open in WordPad if you're using a Windows-based machine. unless you've set another program to act as the default reader for RTF files, which is quite possible to do. Once open, there are a couple things to help you navigate through it. I don't expect people to read the guide from end to end, but you should know how to use your screen reader to say all, as it's called in JAWS, to look at, start to read a whole document from beginning to end in sequence and just keep reading, so that you can enjoy sections without having to constantly hit the down arrow to read the next line, right? So basically in JAWS, it's the numpad insert key and the 2 key, the number 2 on the number pad. Hitting those two will start it reading everything. In the laptop keypad, it's caps lock and down arrow. I'm not familiar with other speech synthesizers to the same extent as JAWS for Windows, so I will just simply direct you to use the manual and find out how to read documents. Learn the reading commands of the screen reader, because they will be very useful to you. Now, having said that, I, again, don't expect people to read the whole guide. I've put 2 plus signs in front of each major section of the guide, and under subsections of a section, there is a plus sign. So basically, all that means is in front of the introduction, there are 2 plus signs. So if you search for 2 plus signs, and with the search function of that software, usually it's Control F to find, and then put in what you want to look for, and then hit Enter or tab over to the Find button or Next button. If you have Next and Previous buttons, that's great. If you don't, it's usually just the Find button. Then you'd have to hit the Escape key or Cancel to get out of the dialog so that you won't continue to search for the next instance, and then you can go down and read the introduction. Once you're past the introduction, searching further on for the next double plus sign would get you to Clearing Up Windows for Blind People, which is the first section of my guide, the first major section after the introduction. Now, it is divided into about 7 subsections, dealing with everything from dialog boxes to using the control panel to online help to navigating the desktop and your menus. Each of those sections is preceded by a single plus sign so that you can jump quickly from one area to another if you need to. Now, that is the basic how-to for reading and taking advantage of the guide, Personal Power, that I've produced. So as long as you can locate that, it should be at least usable to you now that you've heard this, I hope. Now, the rest of this lecture, I'm going to spend just giving you a brief overview of the kinds of things that have interested me over the years, and hopefully some of these things will interest you as well. Keep in mind that the guide, the written guide, is much more extensive. I have examples in it of pretty much everything I'm talking about, how-to instructions in a lot of cases, and explanations of things that in these audio chats aren't going to be present. I'm really more in these chats especially giving a travelogue versus a manual. I think manuals are in large already out there. The knowledge is there. It's just the motivation to seek that knowledge that isn't. So these lectures particularly are about giving you that little push into looking farther for yourselves, even more so than the guide, which is also geared in that direction. I point to a lot of resources in the guide. There are a whole lot of links to different places on the net, different websites that are good starting places. So if nothing else, I hope they will be make it worth people's while to learn how to navigate around the guide, find these links to various things, and make use of them, because there's a lot of excellent stuff out there, and personalpower.rtf is full of such resources. So hopefully that gives you enough incentive to actually get the guide if you don't have it already, and to make use of it. For the links of alone, it should be worth people's while. Now, having said that, these next couple of lectures examine different aspects of the internet, of what you can find, what you can do online. Before you really move much beyond the basic use of your computer, you will have to venture out on the internet or find other people to do it for you if you want them to obtain games or other things that you can get mainly online. So it's really important to get people comfortable with the notion of being online and to familiarize yourself with that world, with the experience of it. That's what the first of the next two lectures, the second of these chats, are going to be about, essentially, the online experience at large, communication and shopping, and also the internet, looking for files, using search engines, that sort of thing. I will briefly gloss over all these areas in the next lecture. There's a lot of ground to cover, but it should be enough to sort of get you started, at least so you're, when you're going online, you have some idea of what you're getting into and what kinds of precautions you might want to take in your communications, in your protecting your computer, that sort of thing. So it's a basic, here's the internet, let's have a brief look around chat. And the one after that, the final lecture in the series, is all about entertainment out there, games and radio stations and other things like podcasts. There are an awful lot of shows and programs and material produced by people, some of whom are professional, some of whom are just amateurs wanting to share their expertise and their talent with the world and hope to get feedback from listeners. And I will go over some of the things in that realm of where to find, what kinds of games are out there, how to obtain them, where to go to start to find out about things. And the same with the radio, especially internet radio stations and podcasts, where to get started in that realm, because there's an awful lot of free audio material out there waiting for blind people to find and make use of it, an awful lot. Now, for the rest of this lecture, what I'm going to be doing is just overviewing some of these things. For example, games. If we look at games, there are an awful lot out there. You can drive a tank in a GMA Games has a tank commander simulator. You can hear in stereo sound the tanks moving around, where shells are coming from, incoming weapons, where to aim at other tanks moving around. All of that is in surround sound, basically, or stereo sound, whichever you have access to. You can go through a maze and play a game of Pac-Man. You can play Pong in audio form. Racing, they're essentially one of the biggest areas I've been asked about as, well, I was editor of Odyssey, as, are there any racing games out there? Well, yes, there are. There are several now that you can go, including more, a couple that you can actually race, one free and one commercial that you have to purchase, that you can actually race online against other blind people. And there are everything from card games to board games, some of which are free, some of which you have to pay for, out there on the net for you, and there's bound to be something that will interest you. It is very hard to conceive of someone who is so unimaginative, so uninterested in fun, that nothing out there would even remotely interest them. There's bound to be something. You might have to do some digging. You're not going to have a ton of choice in all areas, particularly with sports. That's fairly thinly covered, unfortunately, with accessible games. There are puzzle games. There are word games, all kinds of different things, text adventures, loads and loads of different types of games out there. So I'll direct you to where to go to get those. A good starting link there is www.pcsgames.net. If you go to that site and you click on Fantastic Windows Games and where to find them, you will be on a page where you can find out about pretty much every game out there, where to go to find it, and what it's all about. A very good, well-maintained list of descriptions of the games and who develops them and where to go. So that's a good game start point. The other thing, communication. If you look at all the different ways of communication out there, there's people who write blogs out there on the internet, including myself. There are sites where you can participate in online classes and forums for discussion of various topics. There's email, and that has a whole range of possibilities, as I discovered over the years. All kinds of different message things. Instant messengers, there's another one for you. a lot of people will use these, such as Skype, such as Instant Messenger. These programs are accessible to blind people. There's been a lot of work done in making these programs more accessible, and they might not be perfect, but they're certainly quite usable. And you can talk to people all around the world at no cost for free. You can just call someone in England who happens to also be on Skype and chat for the day and not pay a cent for your troubles. It's amazing how good these programs can be at bridging large distances and bringing people together. So communications is perhaps one of the most powerful aspects of what people can do on the internet and what blind people can benefit personally from pursuing is the ability to communicate, say what you want to say, search out content, find people of similar interest to you. It's astounding what you can do at no cost to yourself. And if you're willing to invest money in more expensive equipment or in getting trained or other things, you can even get into things like podcasts and producing your own programs, your own internet radio, if you like. All of that is possible to blind people now. So it is very powerful at providing us with a voice, with a means of communicating what we want to say to the world out there. Now, the other thing about online shopping, there's, again, it's probably just as safe, I would say even safer than regular shopping. There are possibilities. You can get identity theft happening. It does happen online, and I will be covering some of that in the next lecture, all the darker possibilities out there, because I think it's important that people are aware of the risks before they plunge in where possible. I can't protect everyone from them, but I can at least make you aware, and I will be doing that extensively in the next lecture. So hope you join me for that, and I hope this gives you at least an overview, a brief glimpse as to what you can do with the computer that I'm assuming that you either have or are in the process of obtaining. And we'll leave this lecture here at that and continue on the next one. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like to comment or check in with me about anything in this lecture that you've heard, my email address is michael.fair, that's F as in Frank, E-I-R, @gmail.com. So it's G as in go, mail, all one word, .com. So I look forward to hearing from hopefully a lot of you who have listened to this lecture. Thanks a bunch for listening, and we will see you in the second part of these proceedings.